Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Madness. 2020.
Due to the rapid rate of infection, we can no longer continue to play.
And some kind of madness.
What a year.
We have made the unprecedented decision to suspend the 2020 season.
Eventually, we got it back on track. And now, 8 months since the first footy was kicked, the big dance has finally arrived.
What a wonderful moment.
What a blockbuster.
The Melbourne Storm. This mighty team, this model of consistency, this model of success to take on the Penrith Panthers for just the fourth time in their 54-year history. They're off to the grand final.
And let me tell you about the two men that matter most in this year's decider.
Smith kicks straight over the head. Oh, 3 minutes gone. I think we've got a 40-20.
There's only one Cameron Smith.
Cameron Wayne Smith, the kid from Logan.
The great thing about this side, we're a tough bunch here. We're pretty resilient.
Packed his bags and headed south to AFL town. I don't think anyone could have predicted the career this kid would have.
Cameron Smith puts it right over.
I'm the man.
Smith is the Melbourne Storm, and tonight he has a chance to carry his team to premiership glory once again.
The Melbourne Storm, their greatness continues.
To all the Cam Smith haters, sit down, shut up, and listen to this. 429 NRL games, the most of all time. Two Dally M's, a golden boot, 8 straight Origin Series wins, a couple of premierships thrown in. Oh, and yeah, and throw in 2 World Cup winners' medals for good measure. He is the man. But there's a young Panther on the prowl who wants to take Smith's crown.
Cleary from 20, he got it.
Nathan Cleary, the coach's kid.
We all know what we put our hands up for.
He's already won a Dally M Halfback of the Year, a couple of Origin Series, and he plays his 100th first grade game this Sunday night. And yeah, he's only 22.
Oh, Cleary, goodbye, goodbye. First half
hat-trick. But the one thing he wants more than anything is to lead his fearless Panthers side to their first premiership in 17 years.
What about that for Nathan Cleary?
Now, Cleary's story is a little different from Cam's. He was destined to be rugby league's next superstar, the million-dollar teen. Who wants to be the man?
Cleary! Here come the Panthers!
Who's it going to be? The Melbourne Storm? The Penrith Panthers? The Master versus the Apprentice? The 2020 NRL Premiership Grand Final for our great mates at Ream and Maccas, live from Sydney's ANZ Stadium. Triple M rocks the Grand Final. Bring it on!
And a very good afternoon right across Australia. Welcome to the beautiful ANZ Stadium in the gorgeous city of Sydney. The Grand Final today is, of course, the Panthers, the local side up against Melbourne Storm. And a cracking good game. We'll be broadcasting live right across the day for that. And then, of course, the boys will be in at around about 7 o'clock to call that game for you right across the Triple M network. So maybe you got to work tonight. You can't be in front of the telly. I hope you'll join us for the call. We do it now thanks to Bryden's Lawyers on 1-800-848-848. They love rugby league and they are there, of course, to commit, protect and succeed. Anthony Maroon is my name. Joining me for the grand final special today, all the regular suspects. First of all, my old mate James Triceps Hooper. Hello, mate.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Nice to see you here.
And yourself.
And from NRL 360, welcome to you, Paul Kent.
Thanks for having me back, Anthony.
No, that's
really
my pleasure.
I know it's your show and the fact that you have me back week after week.
Yes, well,
really
that's right.
Encourages me. I need a little bit of encouragement.
One week at a time. Don't take it for granted, Paul.
That's true, Anthony. There's a lot of things we shouldn't take for granted.
Yes.
You among them.
That's right. And, of course, from our beautiful studios at the top end of Caxton Street, forget about it, boys, the Dragons 11 premierships, Queensland a decade of origins, the Titans 5 wins in a row. Here he is, Gordon Tallis. Welcome to
It's good to be here, Maroon.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Mate, well, it's a beautiful setting here today. Everybody's sort of getting, for those who haven't been to a grand final before, this all starts at about 8 o'clock in the morning when they start wheeling in the PA systems and setting up the proper lighting and et cetera, et cetera. And it's just been wonderful to see it all unfold today. It's all sort of coming about. And, of course, as I said, the game will be broadcast live across the Triple M network. So let's talk about what's coming up on the show today. Firstly, we've got lots and lots of grand final yarns. I'll ask the boys their favourite grand final, their favourite grand finals. I think there's been some beauties over the last 30 years. And not only that, Gordy's played in a couple of them, so we can get a special sort of feeling off what he thinks about all of that. Origin, of course, we go straight into Origin, so we'll do that as well today. But, boys, let's talk about, first of all, the grand final is here, Gordon. The players through the week, obviously from the Melbourne side of the ledger, we've got a bunch of players who have been here before. But for Penrith, a lot of these blokes, obviously, they're so young and it's their first NRL grand final. Let's start with Penrith's preparation.
Oh, well, it would be seamless, wouldn't it? You would think, especially through the COVID times, you know, there's not, you know, the big fanfare, hoo-ha, all the fan days. So I just hope that it doesn't feel like another regular game for the boys, and the fans have been able to go there. And, you know, the thing that I remember is the training was different. You know, like you'd get that extra spring in your step. You'd go there Monday, but there might be 300, 400, 500 or, you know, 500 people, you know, are just around the fences watching you train. And then by the end of the week, there's a couple of thousand. And that's the special part about it. And it's a different week. There's a lot more media than there's, you know, the grand final breakfast. There's the fan days and there's all that stuff that goes with it. And you've got to keep your eye on the prize, because the prize starts at 7:30 tonight. And that's the biggest thing, is, you know, having that experience. And I think that's what Melbourne will have over the Penrith boys today. But, you know, mate, they're exciting, they're confident, and they've got no fear. And they've played like that through the whole season.
Yeah, so this Melbourne side, though, Gordy, this is their fourth grand final in five seasons. So 430 games for Cameron Smith, and just a bunch of not only experienced players in this Melbourne side, Gordy, but blokes that have come of age in the last 12 months, like Ryan Pappenhausen. What would their preparation be like, considering, of course, they're on the sunny coast, not in their hometown of Melbourne?
Yeah, well, as much as it is the grand final, you try to stick to everything that you've done. You try to treat it like a normal week. But as I said, the fans start popping around and there's more media attention. So you know that it's a big game, but you've got to try to stick to your routine. Whatever you did in round one, you try to stick to the same thing, probably do a little bit more stretching, make sure you're hydrated a little bit more. And for me, it was about doing the little things off the field, about, you know, getting the right amount of sleep and not thinking about the game too much. And I think that's what Melbourne would be doing. I think to have someone like Cameron and Craig that have been to this dance so many times, that they would just know that let's just build slowly, the game will be there, they're not going to change the time, and they'll just prepare like they would always do. Melbourne, I'm pretty sure that they'd be professional, they know what Penrith are going to throw at them.
Yeah, Hoops, I heard Matty Johns say something along the lines of, regardless of who wins this game today, he sees the next decade being perhaps Penrith's next decade.
Well, certainly the infrastructure that has been built at the foot of the mountains, it's set them up. It's put them in a tremendous predicament where we've got players of the ilk of Matt Burton, who hasn't been able to force his way into this team this season. You've got rival clubs, you know, queuing up as of November 1, trying to convince him to head elsewhere. But there's no doubt when Penrith has had success over the years, Anthony, it's always been on the back of a crop of young gun juniors. They've got the biggest junior rugby league nursery in the world. You know, you go back to the early 90s and it was Greg Alexander and Mark Geyer and John Cartwright and those types. 2003, it's Craig Gower, it's Luke Rooney, it's Luke Lewis, it's Trent Waterhouse. And this season, it's Nathan Cleary, it's Jerome Luai. So Matty is correct. They have set up a brilliant foundation. But look, it's a big day for their coach, because he's coached more games than any other coach and is yet to win a grand final. And that's a big question mark that he's going to need to answer over the next couple of years. Ivan needs a premiership to stamp his own legacy.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced that this is like a dynasty in the next 10 years for Penrith as Matty is. I understand what he's saying there. The only thing I'll say is in two or three years, Penrith are going to come under a lot of salary cap pressure when the folks, the likes of Luai and Burton and all those guys,
Crichton,
yep, when they all come off contract. And the great secret, I think, for Melbourne has been their ability to manage the salary cap, with that small asterisk from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But their ability to manage the salary cap has been a secret of the club. And the fact we see players continually go down there who are Storm get for, I would say, a cut price deal. And then the player goes and performs above his salary and then signs elsewhere for another club. And the Storm always pat him on the back, say, welcome, good luck with it, and off you go and enjoy that. And then they go and find somebody else. Josh Adokar's a perfect example. Pappenhausen's a perfect example. Both players were unwanted at the Tigers. Unwanted at the Tigers and went down there. And they've turned into quality players. Adokar's already an Origin player. Pappenhausen's about to be. And they've done that year after year after year. So when that salary, that contract cycle has ended, Melbourne have been able to sort of
regenerate
again and go again. And that's the trick. To have longevity in the NRL from that point of view, from a club point of view, you've got to be able to get through that contract cycle and then go again. Now, Penrith have got a great advantage in their juniors are so good, and we're seeing the evidence of that now. We'll see that today. So they do have an advantage there. So if a Burton or a To'o or Crichton take the big dollars to go somewhere, Penrith will back themselves to fill that gap. But that's still where that's where the trick's got to happen.
Mm. Boys, I've got to ask you this, Scotty. I'll start with you. And it's probably something we'll revisit and revisit across this show and the next show this afternoon. But Cameron Smith, we've got to discuss Cameron Smith.
Yep.
Do you think this is his last game for Melbourne? And if you do, is he playing somewhere else next year? Or is he retiring? What do you think he's going to do?
I think we're going to watch his last ever game of footy. I think that's what it's leading to. I think he's just held his cards close to his chest. He's always loved the game. His dad wrote an article about the criticism and doesn't understand why Cameron gets criticised so much. He's just been a kid that started playing the game at four. He's always respected it. He loves it. And I just think it was a massive decision. I would love to see him play on, but that's selfish reasons. I think that age is a number, especially with Cameron, the way he's playing. He's still good enough. He's still within the five most influential players in the game, if not in the top three or two or one. But I do think that we're seeing the end of Cameron Smith. I really do.
Well, this is another thing, isn't it, Hoops? If he was rugby league's not smart enough or good enough to keep a secret, if Cameron was going to play for the Titans or Brisbane, someone would have leaked it by now.
Oh, look, you never say never in rugby league is one thing that I have learned over the years, Anthony. And look, to Gordon's point, I think there's a view that the Melbourne Storm have known for the last probably month that Cameron is going to retire. They've made a pact to keep it in-house, keep it under wraps, no leaks. Everybody reads from the Cameron Smith cue cards when they get asked a question about, or nobody knows and we're still not sure.
I don't think that many people that actually know Hoops. I think within the club you'd have Craig and senior administrator.
Frank Panisi.
And Frank, that'd be it. I don't think a teammate would know because you couldn't trust a teammate.
There was a theory this week that he had actually told the group and that they'd made a pact to keep it in-house, not let it out. But I think probably, look, he certainly will not be in a Melbourne Storm jumper again, I don't think, because you speak to Matt Tripp and the power brokers who run the Melbourne Storm, they haven't had any conversations at all with Cameron or his agent this season about next year. So that pretty much draws a line under that.
What do you think, Kenty?
I think he'll retire.
Right.
Yeah, look, I think he's had it in his mind. I think the grand final's a perfect send-off. I think there was a possibility if he didn't have success and they'd bowed out after loss in the finals, he might have thought about going again. But I think at some point he's made the decision. I think he's kept it private. When I was critical of Cameron earlier in the year for not making the decision, that's stopped now. Because the whole point of my criticism there was it's about the welfare of the club and about them understanding where they're going for surrogate. But if he's privately told the club what he's doing, and Craig Bellamy came out some time ago, this is what makes me suspect that he's actually told them, came out some time ago and said, look, we've got a plan if he stays, we've got a plan if he goes. I think he knew at that point. So I think at that point, I don't mind that Cameron hasn't told anyone this week or last week or the week before. I think earlier in the season when they were trying to figure out what to do with Brandon Smith and Harry Grant, I thought there was a possibility that he should have told somebody then, just so the club can sort itself out. Yeah. To my point earlier about what I was saying about Penrith, it's very difficult to manage a salary cap. And the more advanced warning you've got on what's happening, the easier it is. And that's why I think it is a difficult situation he's put Brandon Smith and Harry Grant in. He may have told him that.
Mm.
And I think at this point, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant that he hasn't told him at this point. It was irrelevant 3-4 weeks ago that he hadn't told him. By that stage, that window that was open for those players to sort out their futures and that window for the club to sort out their salary cap was closed. So for the last month, I'm not been banging on about he's got to tell people. I don't care that he hasn't told anybody at this point.
Yeah.
I think good on him. And I think, in fact, many ways, I think the fact that he's actually not told anyone except a select few within the club, if in fact this is the case, can actually have a positive effect because it can actually galvanise him a little bit, get him thinking, okay, let's send him out the right way. Melbourne, as we know, do better than anybody when it comes to acknowledging
milestone matches.
So if he's told the Storm playing group this is his last game, you can bet they're going to be up for it, on top of the fact it's already a grand final.
Yeah.
I love that he hasn't told anybody. You know, I mean, like there's the Jonathan Thurston route where it was Johnny Farnham. Every game he went to, he got handed something, which I liked as well. But I like the more like that if Cameron's going to ride off in the sunset, he does it and no one needs to know. He doesn't want the pats on the back. I think he's had enough and he's had his time in the sun. And
he doesn't get the difficult really questions that. Though either, Gordon.
That's, sorry?
He doesn't get the difficult questions either because he has had, for as great a player as he is, he has had a checkered career in many respects.
As in?
Well, as in the salary cap scandal, he was a...
Yeah, but that wasn't just him. That
wasn't just him, Gordon, but he signed two contracts.
And when I sat on the board of the NRL, about eight clubs a year break the salary cap in some sort of way. You know what I mean? Like whether
in
it's
some sort
incentives
of way,
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's some clubs break, just for the listeners to understand there, some clubs break the salary cap where a young player, for instance, has bonuses in his contract, and what will end up happening is he'll play more games than the club thought he would, and he'll qualify for the bonuses, and it'll take him the club 20 or 30 or sometimes 50,000 over.
Yeah.
But this is different, Gordon. Cameron signed two contracts, one for the Storm and one that the NRL saw, which were different amounts. So this was deliberate cheating. And that he's never acknowledged that. He's never spoken about that. But that's the fact. He stood over Alex McKinnon arguing with a referee that it shouldn't be a penalty.
Yep.
He's never spoken openly about that. He complained 60 Minutes didn't give him the opportunity to talk to them when they did the Alex McKinnon interview. When, in fact, I think if one bloke earned the right to have it his way, it's Alex McKinnon in that state.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, and Cameron's never acknowledged any of this. And if Cameron had had an announcement 6 weeks ago that this was going to be his retirement year or whatever, then these questions all would have come up. It just would have. Yeah. And he wouldn't have been able to avoid him in post-match press conferences or at press conferences during the week. But because he's not told anyone, they haven't come up because no one's really thinking about legacy. He's kept the conversation on will he or won't he rather than what was he.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why I think he's once again the most clever footballer I've ever come across in every on the field and off the field. And I think we're seeing the evidence of that.
What do you think, boys? That the if we all believe today's his last game, and it seems that most of us do, so where does he go from here? Does he go and base himself in Queensland, which is what we hear, and still have some involvement with
the kids? Who knows?
I think his kids are on the Gold Coast already in school, but obviously you know they are up here, and from all reports, I think the Storm have checked in again next year because they don't know. You know, what's going to happen with the border or whatever, like the Warriors have, you know, got another option of, you know, basing themselves out of Redcliffe. But I think those Melbourne Storm boys, as you saw with Billy Slater, they've got a bit of a grasp on the Victorian culture. I think that they like it and they can walk around the streets and no one knows them and they can live a normal life or a so-called normal life without all the hype.
On the Gold Coast? On Sunshine?
No, in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
In Melbourne and then on the Gold Coast, well, you know, I think that he'd probably be left alone there as well because it's a pretty transient place. Like, there's not too many people that are born on the Gold Coast. You know, they've all sort of come from other parts of the world.
Like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're blowing. You're a blowing. Anyway, hey, boys,
you're not welcome there, mate. I spoke to Tom Tate. There's posters of you up there. The most hated. Normally it's the most wanted, but you're the most hated.
Well, you tell Tom Tate I've been going to the Gold Coast since he was in short pants and he can't keep me out. Now, if you're coming here today, just be aware, cloudy, very high, a 90% chance of showers.
What are you keeping the crowd away? Maroon, the ponchos, bring your brollies, bring your woolen jumpers.
Hope they're all sold. It's grand final.
Yeah, it's my responsibility to tell people. This is why radio is an immediate medium here, Gordon. I can tell people as it is. If you're heading out here today, you're going to need your raincoats, your brollies.
Well, here's an immediate medium as well, Anthony, and none of us are weather forecasters. Tim Bailey, the business of the brolly. But look, it looks reasonable out here at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, I'd say it's going to rain.
The track looks fast and flat.
Yeah.
You're putting your Mike Bailey, Tim Bailey hat on now,
mate,
are you?
If you don't think it's going to rain.
I don't think it does look like it's going to rain in the next hour.
I didn't say in the next hour. You're red hot.
Mate, you're talking about immediates.
No,
it looks okay out here. For all the fans listening at the moment, it looks good. Yes, bring your umbrella. Yeah, your poncho.
They can't not bring their umbrella based on your prediction that the next hour won't rain.
You'll be all right if you're coming out in the next hour.
Because if it rains in 4 hours, they'll be saying,
then you can go to the Home Bush Bay Brewery.
They'll be going, that bloody Hooper told us not to bring our umbrella.
I don't care if you come out here. You can come out here in a T-shirt and no pants, no undies. I don't care. But it's going to rain.
It's not Little Kongwong now, mate. You're not down at your favourite beach now.
Yeah.
Don't encourage that sort of thing at the grand final.
My poll today is nice, simple one today at the Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M underscore NRL. Who wins today, Melbourne or Penrith? I think Melbourne will win, but I'd love to see Penrith win, but we don't want to go with our hearts here. What does your head tell you, Melbourne or Penrith? Coming up, we're going to ask the boys about their favourite grand finals. We're going to talk a little bit of Origin. It's our grand final special with Hoops, Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis and Maroon as Triple M rocks the grand final.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And the voice there of the great Billy Anderson, the old Rabbitohs Tigers coach. A lovely bloke, Bill, and his brother Pete, mates of mine. I hope you're both well. And just a reminder, Maroon's poll today. Who wins? Does Penrith win or does Melbourne win? At Triple M underscore NRL or via the Triple M NRL Facebook page. We're going to talk. Well, everybody, just to set the scene here, of course, I lost this bet. And I promise everybody, this is the last bet I'm ever going to make. I'm so sick about hearing these bets myself. This is the last bet I'm ever going to make. I had a bet with MG that whoever won, if South lost against Penrith, I would sing the Penrith theme song, which I will be doing down here at 3:20, I believe. We just had a rehearsal down there, which was absolutely magnificent.
It was outstanding, Anthony, I must say. But look, I do have to ask the question, and I'm often asked by listeners whenever you bump people around town, what is it with Maroon and these ridiculous bets that he persists in making? So enlighten us. What is it? What gets into you?
Well, first of all, I never said I'd get breast implants, so that's you blokes made that up. Secondly, cut the audio about the other one.
We're treading on thin ice here because there have been unconfirmed reports about this Castle Hill RSL incident.
It's never happened.
For 12 months now, no, and you're claiming that it never happened, but you'll be happy to know later on this afternoon on this very program, we have an eyewitness who's going to give his account of exactly what was said.
Mate, I bumped into a bloke in Redfern Street this morning named Pat Parisi, who said, I am so sick about hearing about your bets. And I said, Mr. Patrick, I am too. I never made that bet at Castle Hill RSL. I never said I'd get a sex change. I did say it, but immediately said I was joking. I just went down there to have my dress rehearsal. And do you know the first thing they said to me down there? They said, we want to give you the Stevie Nicks treatment when you get down here because we know you can sing.
So, what is Stevie Nicks treatment?
I treat you like
royalty.
Like royalty.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you sing like a female. Is that what you're trying to say? Why don't you say Bruce Springsteen or something?
I'm saying I can't sing.
There's a variety of other theories about the Stevie Nicks treatment as well.
Well, maybe. So,
tell you what, rock and roll.
You never know your luck in a big city. So anyway, it's going to happen at 3:21.
Mm.
Tension's running high. It shows on every face. I'll be singing the Panthers cheer song. Hopefully nobody throws anything at me.
Look, I think it's important to point out, Anthony, we're just happy that you are actually going to honour acknowledge one of your bets. Because
we had the
Roosters cheerleader, Parramatta top four, we had this Gold Coast Titans fiasco that I know the Gold Coast Titans players are still having a laugh about the fact that
you're foolish enough to say it.
And then they won five in a row.
Well, who cares? Well, they won five in a row against who? The Dragons?
Doesn't matter, mate. Oh, you made the bet. Listen.
Who was out here singing the national anthem last year?
Yeah, that was you too.
Yeah, so don't say I don't keep my... I'll be here next year, and you know what I told you about Julie Anthony? That's true.
What's that?
The last person to sing here in back-to-back grand finals, 1984-85, the great Julie Anthony. So I'm in illustrious company.
You are in good company.
Yeah.
You are in good company.
You are. Yeah. So anyway, can we talk about some footy
stuff?
Both short-haired
females.
Okay.
You've got a lot more in common. Jean Kim doppelganger.
Both short-haired females.
Julie Anthony's a beautiful.
Going a bit grey.
Julie Anthony was a beautiful. Is a beautiful woman.
35 years ago.
Yeah. Well, when we all get old, we all get old, Paul. Anyway, favourite grand finals, obviously, boys. The one that. Well, I can't, Paul. I can't. Go past the 89 grand final. I know it's the obvious choice, but I just can't go past that one.
I think it's the best grand final. My favourite, I think we all have favourite grand finals for different reasons. My favourite grand final was 86.
Oh, but it's what, 4-2?
Yep.
Why?
Because we woke up on the morning of the game, and me and a few of my mates, and thought we'd go to it. And back in those days, you could turn up on the day.
Yep.
Get some tickets. Sat on the hill.
Come down from the coast.
Yep, we sat on the hill and watched the game, and it was magnificent. Look, I loved the game because it was just so intense. The whole game, there was not a try scored. Brett Kenny got over twice disallowed. But the game was just so intense. Right at the end of the game, I know there was not any try scored, but right at the end of the game, Parramatta led 4-2. Canterbury were just coming at them. They had a lot of possession in the last few minutes. And there was a moment in the southwest corner where I think it was Andrew Farrah got the ball, shooted for the corner, and six Parramatta players got him over the sideline. Six players. That late in the game. It just showed the great things about grand finals are the grand finals where you see want. And the Parramatta players were exhausted. This is in the semi-professional era. So the players from both sides were already out on their feet. It was like an origin game, and it was just a magnificent game to watch. And sitting on the hill, just the tension that was in the crowd from both sides, because right to the last tackle literally was Canterbury a metre or two out from the try line, having one last crack. And I thought it was just a magnificent game. That's a game that if you sit down, it's a bit like when you watch Jeff Hardy's fight against Dennis Andres. If you watch one or two rounds, it's pretty boring. But when you watch the whole fight and you see it unfold and you just see how one round builds to the next, and that's what this game was. Mm. It really just climaxed into a moment where everything was on the line, and they nearly got there but didn't. Parramatta were so brave in victory. I thought it was a magnificent grand final, although it never makes anyone's list.
More recently in the finals, Kenny, I remember, I think it was 2013, it was a similar scoreline. It wasn't a GF, but it was the first week of the finals, and the Roosters were playing Manly, and it ended up being 4-2 at the old footy stadium. But it was a similar style of theme in that even though it wasn't end-to-end in terms of tries, it was just a gritty, epic, gripping contest. Mm. And you're on the edge of your seat the entire time. The defence was magnificent. So I can understand why you like 86. Yeah. Look, a lot of people say 89. 2015 was another one when JT had to line that kick up. And I remember being out here and you could have heard a pin drop. Gordon, you were out here night watching that game. And it was just magical.
Gordon, what about you, mate? Maybe one that you didn't play in?
No, they're not my favourite. I think 2015, I was working and when South won. And for two obvious reasons, like everybody always says, South are the pride of the league, and I did work there, and I realised what South Sydney meant to rugby league, and I sat in a crowd with my best mates, you know, and we all grew up in Townsville, and it was the first NRL grand final that they'd been to, and when South won and I saw grandkids and grandparents hugging and crying and their dads, and it was three generations of, and what it meant to them. It was really special for me just being a rugby league fan that night and going and watching South fans and just watching, you know, from men and women growing from 8-year-old to 80-year-old crying. I just realised that it's in their veins. And for me growing up in North Queensland and watching, you know, we had players that had played for Queensland and Australia from North Queensland, and there's, you know, some legendary guys that, you know, you fast forward, you know, in 95, 20 years that they're playing, or, you know, like, are they playing in a grand final, you know? So all those people in North Queensland that drove all around, they're all the bush footy players that watch, you know, their region or their community getting represented and winning on the big stage. And the Broncos, it was just a great grand final. It was, you know, the crowd was fantastic that night, and the Cowboys and Brisbane fans, you know, were sitting there hugging, and I thought that's probably, you know, between those two, I can't split them for those reasons.
I remember, Gordy, the hairs are up on the back of your neck because you thought the game was over. Like, you thought the Broncos were essentially going to crown the Premiers for that year. And a lot of people had Anthony Milford as a Clive Churchill medalist. And then, you know, Jonathan Thurston's trying to do his thing. And Michael Morgan ends up, Thurston's like a rabbit looking for a hole in the fence, can't find one, and throws it to Morgan. And then Morgan comes out to the right side and attracts defenders and then throws this incredible flick pass, and Kyle Felt scores. And then JT has this kick from outside the sideline to try and level the scoreline. To win the game, beg your pardon. And he's lining up, and it took forever, Anthony. Like, I remember it seemed like the moment, and there was such
three
a
or four
buzz.
Minutes.
It was. And remember, he's kicking the television cameras, cords are in the way, and it just had so much build up to it. And then, of course, he hits the post, and then they go to Golden Point, and, you know, he kicks a field goal. And the electricity around the stadium that night would have been similar to 2014, Anthony. I know you were out here when the Bunnies won that.
It was strange. Beautiful. I was working on the sidelines for Channel 9, and Vonnie and I were sitting there, and I got a thing in my ear, go out there and interview Jonathan Thurston, and I was crying on the sideline. I don't know why. I didn't play in the moment, but I'm just there watching them all do it, and I got choked up with emotions that I couldn't do it. I'm sitting there, and Vonnie just went in there and started asking the questions for me. So it was just one of those moments where the game, you know, like, that's the greatest thing about our game, is the game's the star. And when we realise that, you know, that names will come and go, and I loved Wally Lewis, but to watch that moment and a young kid sitting there in North Queensland or wherever and watching Jonathan Thurston or the flick pass on Morgan to Kyle Felt or whatever, it's just so many moments. And I remember being a kid and, you know, we didn't really follow the Sydney competition until the Broncos come in, but you would still pick a team, whether it be Parramatta and Manly or whatever, but you'd get there on Sunday and you'd be sitting there and your dad, and you'd have the old black and white, the tiniest little television. We're all sitting around and I couldn't see it now with the bad eyes, but, you know, you had to pick a team and you'd see the heroes. You know, it was Brett Kenny or whoever. But they just, it is the greatest, and that's, you know, and that's why every player strives to do it, because once you win a grand final, it's just history.
Let me bring up one here, boys. That it's the first time I heard the phrase they were in it right up until the kickoff. The one I've got written down here is the 94 grand final where the Raiders beat the Bulldogs. And Paul, if you remember, Paul Osborne was supposed to be going to play in the UK.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the lines, Timmy Sheens told him he needs to hang around for another week. He stays, plays on for the Raiders. The Raiders kick off, I think Marty Beller or somebody knocked it on from the kickoff. And then it was just one of those games where the poor old doggies just never got into the game. Having said that, this is one thing I love about the doggies as a club. They were always in a grand final. They didn't always win them, but every couple of years they're in a grand final. They're in that one, but they just, right from the kickoff, they were never going to win that game.
Well, they had no luck in that one, Maroon, but then you fast forward to 1995 and they went on this magnificent run, and the Manly at that moment in time, coached by Bozo Fulton, and they had Toobs and they had Hasler and they had Spud Carroll, and they had all these champion players, and they were the benchmark side of that particular era. But the Bulldogs, you know, in what was Terry Lamb's farewell appearance, they go out, they come from way back in the pack.
Said it changed.
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah. Mm. But they came back from way in the pack, way back in the pack in terms of being not really considered finals contenders in the lead-up, and then they come out and orchestrate one of the great grand final upsets. So, you know, they
the
did
Doggies,
some,
yeah, they beat
some
the
luck
Dragons,
12 months later.
I think in the first week, I think it was 7-8 or something like that.
Yes.
And they beat us, and I still believe they run a Shepherd or a Timu down the sideline, and they score. But Terry Lamb was a real wet, miserable game, and they got us that day. And then I think they had to play the Raiders, and they just kept on beating these big giant killers, the Broncos, I think was another side. So they had a real tough run in. And Terry Lamb, absolutely brilliant.
Well, we're here for another grand final today, and we're very grateful that we can be here with 40,000 people.
What's your favourite, Chainsaw Teeth?
Well, obviously the 2014, but as I mentioned earlier, if you were listening, Fester, I said the 89 grand final, I think it just was just one of those days, just the pace of the game from the word go. But look, everybody's heard a million stories about the 89 grand final.
Did you shed tears, Anthony, in 2014?
You know, I didn't, but I felt more of a sense of relief that we'd finally that we'd won the grand final. And then soon as the siren went, I had to go and get put in a car and taken to the juniors.
God, the he said juniors. I had to go put in my invoice. As soon as I heard it, I had to go put in my invoice and get out.
I had to go to the juniors and I on the balcony. And
so hang on a minute. You were put in a car.
Yeah, like a car.
Well, like a car with a driver.
Yeah.
Right, and whisked away to the
whisked
juniors.
Whisked away to the juniors, yeah. And now, do you want me to finish this story?
Not really. No, we just sort of keep giving you our time. So you obviously had a job at the junior.
It was the love job. Why do I walk in? You know what?
Why was there a car waiting for the driver for you?
Well, if you'd shut up
two
a minute.
Two things either happen. Either you got a rock going or you rob someone.
You know what? You know what? I want to apologise to the listeners, but these palookas are not worthy of this wonderful story. So I'll take a break.
Just email me the rest.
Please, let's finish it.
If you interrupt me again.
Okay.
All right. I got put in a car. I went to the juniors, right? There was no money change hands. I went up onto the balcony. They blocked off the street. See, this is a good story. Mm-hmm. And then all the South supporters filled the street, and I was up on the balcony, and I had the pleasure of welcoming the players and the coach back to the club. So
and
that
you
was,
did that for nothing.
That was a voluntary,
I do everything for South for nothing.
You know what I'm going to do one day?
What?
I'm going to get Blake Solly on.
Get Blake Solly on. Get him on now. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
Get Richo, Blake Solly, Nick Pappas. Get them all on. And they'll all tell you, I do it for the love. Mm. And that's all.
So if the NRL auditors go through their books, there's no payment.
What goes?
Well, of course there's no payment if they go through South books.
Please don't bring South books into it.
It's all cash.
Oh, dear. I'd love to see him go through your books, mate.
There's folding somewhere in that.
There's
you
not.
Haven't just got,
there's
you haven't
course
been
I
wished
have.
For a hire car.
Yeah.
Was it a limousine or was it?
Oh, mate, I don't know what it was. It might have been a Toyota Cressida. I don't know what it was. It was not. You're missing the point, you idiot. You're missing the point.
No, I'm
what's
enjoying it.
Car
I'm enjoying
we're
the
well
point,
aware
Anthony.
Of the
what's
point,
car,
Anthony.
Was it?
You cannot miss an opportunity in your little subtle way of talking about your cash jobs of just getting advertising out there that you're always available.
I am always
that's
available.
What you've done.
There's no hiding that. That's
so it. Once again, you've just
people
put it out
know,
there.
They've only got to send Anthony Maroon at bigpond.com and I can give them let's take a break and we'll come back and talk Origin as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And of course, we will call today's grand final for you, or tonight's grand final for you, right across the Triple M network as well. So if you like to listen to our coverage, Dan and the boys will be calling the game for you. And like I always say, maybe that means you're working and you can't get in front of the telly. We'll always make sure we are your number one choice if you're listening to it via the old radio or the app, the Triple M NRL app. Now, boys, just to little bit of team news here. Obviously, last week we saw against South, Malcolm Naden didn't play. Oh, Brent Naden, I beg your pardon. Malcolm, another Naden entirely. Brent Naden didn't
play. Glad we clarified that, Anthony.
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Well, I can confirm he definitely didn't play.
Brent Naden didn't play. Tim May started, and you think that...
Tyrone May, fair dinkum. What's in those chips?
What did I
eaten?
Say? Oh.
You're off the
get off the gummy May, bears.
Bold off spin for Australia, you dribbler.
Listen, everybody, I've had a heart. Look, listen, I get here, I get rattled, right? Okay.
You should disclose, Anthony, that the reason you are rattled is because you've blown up during the ad break.
I did, yeah.
Blew up Deluxe about all these stupid bets that you've been putting in for, and you denied the breast implant one, and we've just revealed to you that the witness we had will be on air now, later today.
But this is why I blow up, because Hoops, he wasn't even there, and he's got all the information.
What does that matter? I've got an eyewitness who was there.
Look, I wasn't at the Melbourne Cup in 83, but I can tell you Kiwi won.
The only reason you're rattled
is because you know it's true.
It's not true. I deny it.
Well, look, we'll have our friend Chris come on
you
later
tell
today.
This bloke I'll have a bare Chris. Knuckle with him. Chris, Chris, I'll have a bare knuckle fight with him.
Righto.
Because he is,
I'd like to see that.
Well, I'd like
I'll frame
to
a market.
Oh, mate,
have as much as we can on Chris.
You wouldn't know how to run a bar, let alone frame market. Let me start again, everybody. I apologise for these two. I can't wait for the off-season. I want to catch up with them so bad in the off-season.
Yeah.
Now, Brent Naden won't start today. Tyrone May will start today. Can you now do what you paid for, Hoops, and talk about rugby league?
No problem, Anthony. I'll make sure I get the names right. So, look, I think the Panthers, their coach Ivan Cleary, essentially showed his hand last week when he made the big call. Brent Naden's been tremendous in attack for the Panthers all season. But defensively, the Roosters designed a little bit of a blueprint that showed that he did have a couple of little deficiencies in his game. And as a result, I think that we'll see with the Panthers go with the more solid option of Tyrone May. That will mean that they still have two big boppers front rowers on the bench. Then they'll also carry Mitch Kenny, the hooker, I would expect, who can be a little bit of a backup for Appy Coruscant, or also used just as a solid defender in the middle. And I think that in all likelihood, Brent Naden will probably not feature in the grand final this afternoon, this evening.
Okay, well, that's a blow for the poor kid, but I mean, he's had a good season.
He scored 14 tries. Mm. He's damn quick. He's electric with the ball, but I think it was the Chooks, and there's a couple other games in the lead up as well where opposition sides figured out ways that you could find a couple of little chinks in his armour. It's the hardest position to defend in a lot of respects, playing centre. Mm. And as a result, I think that the Panthers will go with Tyrone May. Mm.
How do they, a question off the top of my head here. How do they tell a young bloke like that? Just say, look, mate, you've had a good year, but you're not going to be playing the grand final. Don't be disappointed. You'll be back next year and your career's only starting.
I think the way to do that these days, in the old days, it used to be really interesting. The old days, players would turn up at training and the reserve grade coach would start to walk over to them. So the player.
Oh, they knew, yeah.
Yeah, mate, you're with me this week.
Yeah.
Players would see him coming and they start, you know, they take off. Remember that days when players used to play a game of touch or go and do some goal kicking before training and they'd see the reserve grade coach heading their way, they were out of there.
Mm.
But these days, the head coach just calls them in. And to be frank, it's a really simple conversation. There's a way to do it. Listen, mate, I've got some bad news, but we're going to go with Tyrone May this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And players understand that. Like,
they
do so much video. They generally know the reasons. There have been instances in recent years where players have been disappointed at the coach's decision in this regard. But yeah, and that's understandable. You that's what it's about. You should be disappointed. It means something to you.
Yeah.
You want to play. To miss the boat is obviously disappointing. Players go away. They get themselves together. They try and deal with the disappointment as quickly as possible. And the good clubmen go away and then say, okay, well, how am I going to help these guys prepare and get them right for the game? And I'm sure that that's what Brent Naden's done.
All right, boys. We've got Hoops, we've got Kendi, we've got Gordon Tallis. And, of course, we do it for our friends at Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed. You can get them on 1-800-848-848. And the good news is we'll be on deck right through the Origin series as well. By popular demand, we will be on air for Origin talking about the New South Wales Blues and Queensland. And we might take a break now and come back and look at more grand final news.
And our friend will be back in 15 minutes, Anthony.
Which friend's
our friend from Castle Hill. He'll be on in
Chris
15 minutes.
From Castle Hill.
Mate, look.
10 past 2
hang
is
around,
coming
10
on.
Past 2 is yeah. coming on.
All will be revealed for all the listeners out there. I know I've been getting a lot of emails and
I will
a lot
say,
of correspondence.
What
about
do you
it.
Think this guy's going to prove?
He's going to dispute your
version of events.
He's going to verify my version where... After I sent you a text saying, are you making stupid bets again? you then interrogated the room, walking around saying, do you know Paul Kent? Are you the one texting? And blokes were pulling their phones out, being ordered to put them away.
Right, because it's trivia. You're not allowed to be on your mobile phone. That's the first thing. Second thing, you can tell this Palooka, he is, he's barred from trivia.
Anthony, you can tell him.
I will tell him.
You can tell him you want to go the knuckle
with him. I want to go a bare knuckle fight with him.
Yeah.
And I'll give all the money raised to charity after I take my expenses out. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Origin as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.